Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH, streaming live on all those smart speakers. A 10-year-old girl did something that would probably end up with me getting killed if I did exactly what she did, or at least find myself in that same position. And that is what's trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
This is a story about a girl named Shugla Mashwani. And she is either incredibly tough, or we overstate how difficult it is to survive in the wilderness. I don't know which one we're going to decide at the end of the day, but given the fact we're talking about a 10-year-old, and you know that I don't like kids, sorry, Duncan, you know I'm probably going to go with it's probably easier. But let's have it. I'll have an open mind as I go through this story where she spent a night alone, lost in the wilderness north of Cle Elum, according to King Five. I would argue, honestly, it's more terrifying to be lost in Cle Elum itself. It's very creepy there. My apologies to those of you who live in a very creepy city. I don't know what makes it so creepy to me, but the three times I've been to Cle Elum, I've never felt comfortable. I always feel like it's going to be the start of a horror movie.
Because they look at you weird because you're wearing a suit.
No, they love me there. I'm very popular in Cle Elum, I think. I made up. So she says she was out with the family says they were out going for a hike. I'm sure they were avid hikers, which makes them insufferable. Now, King Five says that when the family crossed a footbridge across the Cle Elum River near Cathedral Rock Trailhead, they noticed that Shugla wasn't there. Where was she? They looked around. They couldn't find her. This is not like her to just wander off.
It happens in 10 minutes, and then we were looking for her, and she was gone.
Did you not realize your kid was gone for 10 minutes? Or were they looking for 10 minutes and then all of a sudden they realized this is serious? Either way, I'm not entirely sure I know how a 10-year-old girl could escape attentive parents. Not to blame the parents. I don't know what happened. But this is a little bit off to me, right? Like to get that lost. I'm not familiar with the trail, so maybe it's incredibly easy to get lost. I'm just saying. I wouldn't have gotten lost. But I'm not a 10-year-old girl. Now, the family says they searched for hours. At some point, they got hungry. They went home for a meal. Then they're all like, I'm not going to go back anywhere. Well, she'll be fine. No, I made that laugh. Well, I don't know, actually. I'm assuming that's not what happened. They, after looking, probably called the authorities. Say, hey, we lost our kid. King Five said the father, Shear, and the rest of the family spent hours searching for her with no cell phone service to call for help. A passerby on a UTV came across the family and called for help on a satellite phone, staring at them, judging them, saying, why don't you have a satellite phone? Oh, it would have come in handy, wouldn't it? And then the family got all mad, like, why are you my kids missing? Why are you giving me a hard time? I added that for flavor, that last detail. The Kittitas County Sheriff's Office and half a dozen search and rescue teams from across Western Washington began an extensive search. King Five says a search and rescue team searched around the clock. We know they searched because it's called the search and rescue team, King Five. Shugla hiked downstream, slept the cold night between two trees. Now, I always hear conflicting advice, almost like the conflicting advice about bears. You go downstream because you'll likely find people or civilization. That's how it works, at least in movies. But also, I thought you're not supposed to leave where you're at because there are people looking for you. And when you're moving, they might end up going to the one spot that you're in and you make it a little bit more difficult. I'm not expecting a 10-year-old to know that, but I don't know what the actual advice is. I suppose if you're desperate and you're going to die because you're out there, then at that point you follow the stream.
Yeah, I'm sure it's advisable to stay in the same place.
If it's safe, obviously.
Yeah, that makes sense so the search party can find you. But also, I don't know, you're going to get bored, right? You also might try to find the people that you're looking for. I mean, you're looking for them as much as they are looking for you.
Yeah,
so naturally, you're going to want, especially when you're 10,
yeah,
and there's
the problem
stuff
is,
out there. And
you're not going to find humans. You're going to find a bear. It's going to be a black or brown bear. You're going to get confused about what you were supposed to do.
And there's no internet to look up what you're supposed to do.
You can't just quickly look it up, and then all of a sudden you play dead when you're supposed to be big and throw rocks at it, but also not make eye contact, but maybe make eye contact with one eye, something like that. I'm not entirely sure. But Shugla, thankfully, and the reason why we're joking around, she's fine. She's fine. I mean, to stay warm, she had to gut a bear and then get inside its carcass just because it was cold outside. She went all, what was that stupid movie? The Leonardo DiCaprio movie? You're useless.
I don't know. I've seen them do that on the nature shows, but with a moose. They cut up a moose and sleep inside it.
This is Shigala, and she was all like, I see that moose over there, which is an odd sighting here in Washington, but I see that moose. I'm going to go for the bear. She's kind of cool like that. She said she was determined to find her family.
I was thinking I was trying to go to sleep in the night and then wake up early in the morning and then I'll find my dad and mom in the forest.
She said all of that in just those three words that you allowed to air, King Five? Or did you make all that up? And by the way, could you not get a second translator? Or use the same translator, but then to transcribe and then give it to a girl's voice? So it's just not the exact same voice as the father?
It was a family member who was translating.
I don't care.
But this is the point we need
write
to talk
down.
About with your audiobook. So, because we were talking about you doing the voices
yeah,
yesterday.
Yeah, but I would
same
do...
Thing.
He doesn't do any voice. He does
no,
the same
that's
voice.
Fair. It's very boring sounding.
They say Monday morning, the search continued. The Kittitas County Sheriff's Office said her father recorded a message that was broadcasted by the helicopter so she would know the rescue team was there to help her. Except to her, she just heard a weird voice in the sky and she thought she was dying and going to heaven. After more than 24 hours, she was found with only a few scrapes and reunited with her father. Where was she found? I don't know. It's a King 5 story, and so they didn't include that information. The father says he's proud of his daughter for being brave.
Not just me. Everybody is proud of her that she is brave and she take care of herself and the mom.
So I'll say what no one else will because she's fine and I can get away with this and because I don't like kids. If she's only had a scrape or two, is it really all that big of an accomplishment to stay alive for 24 hours? I mean, can we just acknowledge that maybe it's not as difficult to survive the wilderness?
Who's saying it is difficult?
Well, the whole story here is that she survived through a precarious moment, an incident of being lost in the wilderness of Cle-Elum.
Yeah, but I don't
have
think...
Have you been to the wilderness of Cle-Elum and have you seen the Blair Witch Project? Those are my only two questions I have. And if the answer is no, then you don't understand what it is I'm talking about.
Okay.
If the answer is yes, then you know exactly what it is I'm
not.
Talking about. It's a creepy spot. Like, I would be scared in broad daylight going for a hike with people in Cle-Elum. Again, I have a thing against Cle-Elum, almost like it's Tukwila. But... maybe it's not that hard to survive. You have all these stupid shows about surviving in the wilderness. How'd she do it? She's 10 years old. She's some punk kid.
Yeah, I think 24 hours, most 99% of people would probably survive in the wilderness for 24 hours. It's a long time. It would not be the most fun in the world, but I don't think that would kill most people that aren't talk show hosts.
Yeah, I mean, I would be dead. Let's be clear. She's way better than I would be. I would be dead, frankly, of boredom. At some point, I would go looking for a bear just for the excitement. And the second my cell phone dies and I no longer have the ability to watch some videos, I know I have some downloaded on my phone. If I can't do that, I'm out. And the truth is, if I don't have internet access or cell phone access, I'm not going there to begin with. I'm not leaving the apartment. I'm staying at home. Sorry.
Then I'd give you more than 24 hours if you just stay home.
Yeah.
You'd survive.
I'd stay home and survive. I mean, we got Uber Eats and everything. Like, they can deliver everything to me, although they get the address wrong all the time. Push the button.
What's trending in Trumplandia?
Chris Christie just announced that he's running for president. And the reason why this is a story about Trumplandia is because it would appear that the sole purpose for which he is running for president is to take out Donald Trump. He's going to be the bully. He's going to be the guy who is framed and already is being framed as the only one who's willing to go toe-to-toe with Donald Trump and take him on. And if yesterday's announcement was any indication of how this was going to go, oh, well, it's going to get very personal because he goes after the kids and the in-law.
So let me tell you something, everybody. The grift from this family is breathtaking. It's breathtaking. Jared Kushner and Ivanka Kushner walk out of the White House and months later get $2 billion from the Saudis? $2 billion from the Saudis.
How much?
You think it's because he's some kind of investing genius? Or do you think it's because he was sitting next to the President of the United States for 4 years doing favors for the Saudis? That's your money. That's your money he stole and gave it to his family. You know what that makes us? A banana republic.
That's what makes us a banana republic?
So, he may get 30% again. I'm not sure. Maybe he'll get more. Maybe he'll get less. But let me tell you what he'll know in 2024 that he had no idea of in 2016. He's in for a fight to get it.
I don't know if that's the best tactic to go after Trump. Go after Trump. Don't go after his kids. Don't go after Jared Kushner. That's not going to land. It really, not with Republicans. If you're going to go after someone's kid, go after Hunter Biden, who actually has a record that's very clear and not open to interpretation and analysis. But even then, if the whole idea of going up against Biden, for example, was focused around Hunter, that wouldn't work either. This seemed unnecessarily petty, and maybe that's part of the strategy from Chris Christie to get so petty to that gets under Trump's skin. I don't know if this is going to get under Trump's skin, judging from all the fat jokes within the last 24 hours. My guess is it does not, and I would guess that that's going to get under Chris Christie's skin more so than he get under Trump's skin. I don't know if Republican voters want just the bully. They might engage in some of the drama and maybe be pulled in, but we've got so many people running for president. I think people are going to want at least some substance. Yes, they want the entertainment, and with Trump, that's what you get. And in fairness, Trump can be a bully. I don't recall him being over the top in his bullying when he was running the first time around and he was seeking the nomination. He wasn't like tiptoeing around getting direct and aggressive, but he wasn't over the top. Chris Christie feels like that's all he's capable of doing is just going over the top. And if the goal is to simply defeat Trump so that someone else can win, then he's going to have to early on determine who that other person is. And you can't do that if you're the one who's running for president. You can't say, I'm running for president so that Trump doesn't win, but Ron DeSantis goes forward. Right? You can't do that. So he would have to present himself as a potential contender who can win. And I don't know if you can do that while nonstop attacking Trump. I don't know if you can do that if you're Chris Christie, period, because I just don't think he is anyone in the party that folks want to see move forward, at least on the Republican side. I know he's going to get a lot of support from Democrats because he's the one who's going to attack Donald Trump. I just don't know if that's a smart strategy or a winning strategy. He's got no shot to advance, like at all. And all Donald Trump has to do is say, hey, remember when you endorsed me for president? Remember when you pretty much tried to get a gig under my administration, but I didn't give you one, and maybe this is you just being upset. Remember when you were during my administration helping me with debate prep, or before my administration helping me with debate prep? You remember that? No, you don't remember that? Well, let me remind you. That's all he has to do. Just say, yeah, this is a guy who's jaded because I didn't give him a job. And instead, he was stuck working at ABC as an analyst. Who I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy, Michael Cohen. I wouldn't even want him to be an analyst at ABC News. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Culture wars.
We've gone completely full circle. We talked a little bit about this yesterday on a local story involving a Muslim planning commissioner out of Sammamish who was effectively forced to resign because he expressed his positions on LGBT issues from a religious perspective. Now, not only do I not share a religion with him, I'm Jewish, I'm also gay, and so I have slightly different viewpoints on what he said. A lot of what he said I thought was actually really not just factually inaccurate, but also, yeah, it was a little offensive, I guess. But he gets to hold positions that he wants to hold. When they come from religious perspectives, it's even more protected. But I told you, in that case, Muslims, devout Muslims, the same way as Orthodox Jews and devout Christians, whatever it happens to be, have a general similar take on LGBT issues, right? Just generally speaking. And that has always been the case. And yet, for the longest time, progressives decided to pretend that their views on LGBT issues, at least from the Islamic perspective, they just pretended they didn't exist so that they could present Muslims as a marginalized community that all these white liberals would stand up for. They love to tokenize individual groups. And I've been saying for a long time, particularly around the fights with gay weddings and whether or not you're going to provide cake services or photography, floral arrangements, whatever it is, I kept saying, wait until the time where there is a Muslim owner of a bakery and let's see which side they pick on the left, because they're going to have to pick one group of quote unquote marginalized people. And now they've come from, at least from the radical left, they've come out and said, yeah, we're going to side on this issue. If it's between LGBT folks and Muslim folks, we're siding with LGBT. No longer are they pandering to the Muslim community. Now they're pandering to transgender communities. And it was on full display yesterday with the Maryland City Council, a Democratic member or Democrat member. She was a part of this meeting that was going over concern from both parents and children who spoke up about the LGBTQ material that is being pursued at their schools. And it gets into what, frankly, we've been covering here in Seattle and, frankly, all around the country, which is it just goes too far. 10,000 different genders. You can have all of them all at once. Maybe sometimes you don't have a gender at all. Here's a whole bunch of different pronouns. And it is impossible for some people to opt out of this kind of material, this kind of lesson. And you had kids there who showed up who were Muslim, who are devout, who from a religious perspective believe that this teaching goes against their core values and beliefs, of which are protected. For example, Saad is a student, very young, can't tell his age, he looks, I don't know, 11 years old, 12 years old maybe. And he said there should be opting out available for us. Well, why can't we? He spoke in front of the Montgomery County Council.
I'm not here to take away the right of anyone being recognized in the community. I'm here to talk about my rights. My religion teaches to respect all religions and all human beings and their rights. So does my country law. And I want my right back to have an opt-out option. In the last Board of Education meeting, someone said that many people of the LGBTQ community are being bullied. That may have been the case some time ago, but these days it's quite the opposite. There are over 40 kids that I know who don't want to learn this and really want to be here talking today, but can't because they are being bullied. They are the ones being bullied when they say we don't want to learn this.
I think that that's a very valid and astute observation. You had another, in this case, a slightly older student who's a graduate of one of the schools in the districts that were pushing this on kids to be, you know, all-inclusive and push equity, which are words that have been redefined by the left, she also spoke up.
The issue of gender and sexuality are influenced by our faith, and we should not be caricatured as intolerant. And our faith perceived to be subversive because it doesn't align with your beliefs. Intolerance of the faith community threatens to erode support for religious freedom, therefore eroding the benefits it provides for everyone.
See, the thing is, you can hold all sorts of different views on all of these issues, and they can coexist. And you could allow for fundamental rights and let's be clear, gender-affirming care that's surgical on, you know, some 11-year-old kid is not a fundamental right. It's not a right, period. You have to create that as a right. And I think that that's a dangerous, quote-unquote, right to create. But you can hold different views and you can simply say, hey, you know what? We just disagree on some of these issues rather than call the other side bigots. But unfortunately, that's what happened. And we're now at the point, and it started almost at a parody level with the LA Times calling Larry Elder, who is black, the black face of white supremacy, because now we're calling apparently Muslims white supremacists. There's this one council member, Montgomery County Council member, Kristen Mink. And she tried to I love when people do this. I'm not saying you're a white supremacist, but you're a white supremacist. That's basically her comments to these kids.
This issue has unfortunately put some, not all, of course, but some Muslim families on the same side of an issue as white supremacists. Jeez. And outright bigots. And, you know, there, however, the folks who I've talked to here today, I would not put in the same category as those folks.
Why wouldn't you? Aren't they taking the same positions? She's calling them white supremacists, but then saying, well, but the ones in front of me, because I don't want to be accused of calling them white supremacists to their faces. I don't want them to say anything directly to me because they're in the room. I'm not calling them that, but everybody else is. It's despicable. And this idea that you're just going to smear a whole bunch of people who hold very common sense, reasonable views on this issue as white supremacists, shame on you. Just shame on you. Kristen Mink is a bad person. She's trying to weaponize that term. And frankly, she's trying to weaponize racist history and painful history to silence people with whom she disagrees with politically. Believing that there are only two genders, while being respectful of everybody, does not make you a white supremacist. But using that as an insult to silence people makes you a bad person. And Kristen Mink is a bad person. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. In fact, your next text should tell me which story you want me to cover. There's going to be two stories up for grabs. Number one, O.J. Monahan, the PGA commissioner. Oh, did he step in it when asked to defend some of his positions on LIV, the LIV Golf League. Do you want that very awkward and uncomfortable audio or a massive COVID fraud ring here in Washington State was uncovered? Do you want to get those dirty details? You let me know. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your texts.
Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. Look at the time. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon, and that means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by our friends over at Alpine Specialty Services. They're online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore the stories coming out of Seattle, and instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start in the city of Bellevue, where, and I start on a lighter note here because they are getting into the dog park business. They, over at the Parks Department, decided to launch a pilot program that allows for three off-leash dog areas in three different parks. And folks who live in the area who are dog owners, like Beatrice, speaking with Cairo 7 TV, she loves the idea.
I normally have to drive him, which takes a lot out of my day, to like a dog park or somewhere where you can actually run around freely. But this is convenient. I come here twice a day now.
So... it's going to be, by the way, Crossroads Park, Wilburton Park, and Wildwood Park. They're basically looking for community feedback to see if this should remain permanent. Who's going to say no to that? Seriously, who's going to say no to an open field dog park? Who's the curmudgeon? Who's going to say to the little three-legged pug that just wants to be off leash for a little bit and play with other dogs that, no, we're not going to allow it. We're not going allowed here, not in Bellevue. I feel like this is very much a Bellevue thing. I feel like most cities would benefit from this. Who doesn't just like seeing dogs run around? I you know. Now we go on to the series. See, I'm getting a look from Max. I wanted to start with a positive story because we're going to go into Tukwila. And of course, what does that mean? It means I'm going to have a negative story. Because it feels like all negative stories come out of the city of Tukwila, where they arrested now a 12-year-old girl who apparently has a quote-unquote no-cares attitude. The cops there say she's been involved in a string of robberies and vicious attacks over the last several months, and they mostly, they argue, or they claim, targeted elderly women. Now, the last arrest, her latest arrest, and remember, we're talking about a 12-year-old girl, happened on Monday evening Officers got a call to a business in the South Center area. They got a report of a robbery. So they go over there. They speak to the victim. And the victim said that she was in the bathroom at this business when this 12-year-old girl attacked her, stole her phone, and then ran away. Now, the police, once they learned some details about the suspect, immediately knew who they were looking for, that this 12-year-old girl apparently is well known to the officers. So they tracked the victim's phone to a business that wasn't far away. They get there. They saw the girl who is known to hang out in that area. They spotted her and they made their arrest. While they were doing that, apparently this 12-year-old girl was with a friend. And the police say that the 12-year-old encouraged her friend to attack an officer so that they could go to juvenile detention together and could continue to hang out. Officers said her comments were in line with her previous no cares attitude. When she laughed or joked about her victims crying, being hurt, or being emotionally traumatized. Now, in a Facebook post on the Tukwila Police Department's page, said, "This is an unfortunate trend that has been going across the region with juvenile suspects escalating their criminal behavior and expressing a lack of caring due to their belief that there is a total lack of consequences for said behavior." Are they wrong? Again, not to sound like a broken record, but how often have we said that? Almost, actually, word for word, I'm now wondering if the Tukwila PD listens to this show. Because almost word for word, we've said that you've got more and more juveniles in particular who are stepping up, committing criminal acts, knowing that they're not going to suffer any consequences. And we've got folks on the left who believe that, especially when we're talking about juveniles, we should never even think about considering jail. Not even consider jail, but think about considering jail because of their age. The system is inherently racist and out to get them. It's not fair to them, blah, 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 blah. We hear that over and over and over again. And guess what? These kids know that. They're hearing it. They're experiencing it themselves. And for her to so nonchalantly say, "Oh, come on, friend, attack them so we can both go to juvie together, detention center together," I think that makes the point. Now, this is a girl who, according to the Tukwila PD, have been repeatedly offered help to just try to improve her life. But guess what? Her behavior only worsens, they say. Because of previous arrests, she's required to be under strict supervision, but recently cut off her ankle monitoring device. I know we don't want to throw a 12-year-old in jail. She deserves to be in a juvenile detention center if even a fraction of what she's accused of is accurate. Because I'm going over the long list. It's available at our parent website, MyNorthwest.com. On February 28th, she allegedly followed an elderly woman from a bus where she attacked the woman and stole her purse. On March 13, we're told that the girl followed an elderly woman out of a business, knocked her to the ground, attacked her, and tried to steal her phone and purse. But a bystander was there, came to the rescue, and the girl fled. April 14th, police say that they were notified that the girl had cut off her ankle monitoring bracelet the day before, which, by the way, note that, the day before. They didn't find out the day of. They didn't find out immediately when it happened. And then she got into a fight with someone and then attacked an elderly woman who happened to be nearby. That's what they claim. April 18th, the girl made a social media post asking others to meet her at a location where she had been banned, where she had committed most of her crimes, allegedly, with the goal of starting a large fight there. Officers were able to intercept the messages or find the messages, then go to the location, spotted the girl, who then ran away. And then on May 22nd, officers were called to a report of an attack where they were told the girl had tried to stab a romantic rival. She's 12 years old, a romantic rival, after a fight related to a boy they were both involved with. This is a 12-year-old girl. This is a 12-year-old girl. Her family has let her down. And so part of me, because of her age, views her as a victim. She's also the bad guy in all of this. In fact, she's especially bad. Again, if even a fraction of those allegations are true. But she was failed by her parents, by the adults in her life. She wasn't born to be this bad of a kid. She became this bad because of a lack of parental structure. That's, I guarantee you. With that said, she's clearly a threat. If these allegations are true, she's clearly a threat. And I don't care that she's 12 years old. She needs to be in a detention facility. The writing is on the wall. We've got all the red flags. We know where she's headed. We know it precisely where she's headed. And unfortunately, because of the way things work right now, and I cover this at length in my new book, my first book, What's Killing America? We live in a world where the radical left are in charge, and they are making these decisions to keep people like that out of jail, and they only get involved, if at all, and make the right decision when it's too late. And in this case, the too late might be that this girl murders someone. Is that what we're comfortable with? Are we okay with that? Because that's truly where we are. That's truly where we are. And I'm just waiting for some of the folks out there in the voting community, the constituencies, where this is all happening, whether it's King County, Snohomish County, Pierce County, it doesn't matter. We're seeing this all over the place in certain cities and in certain counties. I keep waiting for people to wake up and say, okay, enough is enough. We're going to make a better decision. We're going to vote for better people. And I'm still waiting. We see little like glimpses of sanity, but that's just about it, glimpses. This is such a depressing story. But again, I cover a lot of these issues and what's behind this, why this is happening in my book. I said earlier I made the top 11 of political books in under 24 hours. I would love it if you could get me in the top 5. Yeah, I can get to the top 10. I don't need your help for that. I want to get into the top 5. Pre-ordering a book is so incredibly important. And it's already difficult for conservatives to get on any bestseller list because of the way that their algorithms work. And unless you're a huge name conservative and you sell a ton of books where they're embarrassed if they don't put you on the list, it's very, very difficult. So I would appreciate it if you could help me. You can go to Amazon, Walmart. You can go to Barnes & Noble online. You can go to Bookshop. I think it's bookshop.org. If you so feel inclined to support Target, you can go to target.com and you can pre-order my book. It's called What's Killing America? Inside the Radical Left's Tragic Destruction of Our Cities. And I take you all across the country to see how all of these policies are intertwined, and I connect the dots so you know why this is all happening. It makes it easier for us to push back when we know the what and the why. So that book is available right now. You can go to my website or just go to my social media accounts. I've got the links up there as well. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, you get to choose the news. And we have two stories for you. Story number one, Jay Monahan, the commissioner for PGA. He stumbled through an attempt to defend his hypocrisy. Now that we know that the LIV, Live Golf League, is merging with PGA. Or story number two, a massive COVID bust, COVID scam bust with ties to Washington State. You want to get those details? Text me, 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.
You pick the topic on The Jason Rant Show.
Indeed you do. And I do appreciate you picking a story I definitely wanted to talk about, and it has everything to do with our friend. I call him a friend. I don't know him, and I don't even know if I'm saying his last name right. Is it Jay Is it Monahan?
I think it's Monahan. Yeah,
it's not Monahan. You?
No, I don't believe.
What
so.
About the little umlaut over? Oh no, that. Hold on, it's crumbs. It was a crumb. Sorry.
Is that from Brian's Suits?
Yeah, Brian eats in the studio. Tell him not to. So he's the PGA Tour commissioner. And he finds himself in a pretty difficult spot in trying to defend some of his previous comments before he realized that PGA Tour and the Live Golf Tournament folks were going to merge into one. And there's that other, isn't there a third group, someone on a
DP Tour? That's the European Tour.
Oh, yeah, good for them. So previously, the whole idea was to pretend that they were against the Live Tour because of Saudi money involvement. In the Saudi family was funding this, and it's blood money, essentially, that these are folks who embolden terrorists. They have horrible human rights records. And at one point, Jay Monahan, in pretending this wasn't merely about protecting the business interests of the PGA, had said that people who died on 9/11 are disgusted by this. How dare you do this to them? It's offensive to their memory. And he really, really, really leaned into that, only to then yesterday say, I'm proud to announce that we have now gotten back together. So he's getting called out by some folks like me, like others in media, but also by Terry Strada, who's the chair of 9/11 Families United, and just completely calling out the about face. And Jay was asked about that on the Golf Channel. And this is incredibly awkward and uncomfortable in how much he stumbles to answer a question that he should have been prepared for. Would you not assume that this is the one topic that will come up incessantly for the next month?
Yeah.
Almost the only topic that will come up. How can you all of a sudden get in bed with the enemy? You just said that they were all terrorists.
Jay, the 9/11 Families United made a strong statement yesterday. They said you co-opted the 9/11 community in taking a moral stance against LIV. How would you respond to that group?
Poorly.
Uh-oh. Well, I...
Okay.
I read Terry's comments.
Well, we just told you the comments.
What? Obviously acknowledge her loss, okay, and completely understand her position.
So she's
and
right.
To the question that you were just asking.
Are you filibustering?
You know, the fact that...
What do you wish?
I allowed confidentiality to prevail here.
What does that mean?
And in allowing confidentiality to prevail,
what?
I did not communicate to very important constituents, including the families of 9/11.
You mean you didn't give them a heads up?
I regret that.
What does that have to do
really
with this? What does that have to do with this?
But as we sit here today,
yeah,
you know, I think it's important to, you know, to reiterate that I feel like the move that we've made and how we move
so
forward is in the best interest of our sport. We've eliminated those fractures.
So you don't care
but
about
for,
their
for
feelings.
Any difficulties I've caused on that front, again, I have to own that as well.
You're
and that
not
comes back
it.
To communication.
No, what? So you mean to tell me that had you simply told Terry Strada and just the group in general that you were going to do this, then the question would not have come up and they still would not have felt as if you were exploiting their families and the victims of 9/11, really? That's what he just said there. He said that this was a problem of upholding the confidentiality clause, which he clearly is referencing the fact that they were negotiating to get this deal done and it was supposed to be kept under wraps. And my God, it was kept under wraps. I hadn't even heard this as a potential rumor of a rumor of a rumor of a rumor. So they did a really good job in that regard. But simply telling the families that, yeah, just FYI, in a couple of days, we're going to make this announcement, that wouldn't change their criticism. It's the same exact criticism. They're not mad you didn't give them a heads up. They're mad that you used their family members originally, all those victims originally, in order to push back against the LIV tour. How does he not have a better answer for that? Seriously. And in fairness, I will say there's probably not a good answer unless you're just completely upfront with what that was all about. And for him to be upfront, at least when it comes to this particular angle of the controversy, he would have to say, yeah, I was using 9/11 victims and their families to try to stop a business move that hurt our business. They thought it was good for their business by announcing this, that it was a good investment. We obviously didn't find it. I should not have done that, but that is exactly what I did, and I apologize. I should never have done that. 9/11 families deserve better. Like, just fall on the sword. Because I think his deflecting, his stumbling, his just odd answer, I think it just makes it worse. because you've not actually given an answer, it means that question's going to be asked again. And it's going to be asked again and again and again until you actually give an answer. And then to pivot at the end to, again, pitching this as a great deal for golf, that doesn't address the underlying concern.
Yeah, well, and the fact that he comes out like that and he's so nervous and he's so just weird about it, the fact that that is the messaging now that's out on this topic is, yeah, it's a terrible look for Jay Monahan.
Just be... I know that we punish people for being honest when they're being honest about a deception. And we should, because you deceived. But I do think you would get better, you would get a better reception than you're getting now by just being upfront about what it is you did. Now, at the same time, you got Rory McIlroy, who I only know because I watched Full Swing on Netflix, which is outstanding. And it made me interested in golf, at least during the course of the docuseries. And now I nonstop get Netflix emails. We just published a docuseries you would like. And then you click on it and it's some stupid thing about a murder. Well, I watch Full Swing. Why are you giving me murder stuff? Well, he's speaking out against this merger. He's not a fan, even though he does think ultimately it's going to be good for the game in the long run, but he's not a fan of LIV.
But it's not LIV. I think that's the thing. I still hate LIV. Like, I hate LIV. Like, I
hate.
Hope it goes away. And I fully expect that it does. And I think that's where the distinction here is. This is the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the PIF. Very different from LIV. All I've tried to do is protect what the PGA Tour is and what the PGA Tour stands for.
Stands for. Is he Scottish or Irish?
Scottish,
right? Yeah. I know McIlroy is a, you know, he did, what? A heat. Wait, you hit someone?
I didn't think he was saying hate the first time, because that was what you told me to pull. Yeah. Was him saying I missed it the first time?
You
because
have to
I
know.
Didn't realize he was. That's what he was saying.
You have to pay attention to the context. Otherwise, you're going to have no clue what in God's name it is he's saying. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send me a text message, you're listening to The Jason Rant Show.